Good thing they have Kleenex boxes in this church. And powerful, beautiful stories of people loving God, this church loving God, this church loving one another. And so good morning and welcome to New Crossing Church. I like to begin there. I know I just got back, but good morning. God loves you. And I do too. No, it's great to be here. I like messing with you guys. You're fun. And so we're in a series called Tales from the Trail. And there's only one trail with Christ. It's following his trail. There are other trails, but I tried to avoid those. And we've this morning just celebrated how God loves this church and how you love him. And and we've heard the testimonies, and very powerful and beautiful. And we've seen how God's changed lives in the images and videos this morning of people within the church. And their and just in those testimonies, it was hard to hear through the wind, but just from kids to teens, just following, giving Jesus their heart, and people outside the church, of they're being touched through you as you go and bless others, and that just is so cool. You can be opening up to Colossians chapter 1 this morning for our passage, but as you're now we're going to be looking ahead to where we're going this coming year, and this vision for this year is not something externally of what we're going to do. Like sometimes, you know, it's like, we're going to start this ministry, and you know, we're going to go to these people, we're going to build a house, a church, I don't know. This vision is internally of what God, I believe, and the elders believe he wants to do internally within us. And so this is where we're going. But let me begin with a question. Tell me, what comes to your mind when you think about God? I know, could you narrow that down, Craig? No, just what do you think about when you think about God? So let's pray. So our Father, again, we are here celebrating you. We celebrate the God of history. We celebrate the God of our past. We celebrate who you are presently. And we celebrate who you are in our future. For you are a living God. And we prayed as we enter this message, the story, the scriptures, that your spirit will empower these things. For this is not an invitation into something we're going to do individually, which though that's true, but it's more of a question of will we participate in what you're already doing in your church. And Jesus, you created the church, not man. It was your idea, and it is a living, breathing organism called family and not a institution or corporation. And we pray that by your spirit, you will just, it's like planting the seeds this morning that we pray will bring much fruit and harvest in this coming year spiritually within you and within us, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said. So you have an outline, and if you don't have an outline, if you're visiting, you can always get up and grab an outline in the back and a pen. And this is a sermon in the series Tales from the Trail, even though it's also our celebration service. And it's looking at, it's titled A Paradigm Shift. And I'll explain that after I explain how I got to this point in my journey this sabbatical. So in my very first week of my sabbatical in June, the first week of June, each month I took a week to get out of town. because you know how it is. If you don't get on in town, you just keep working and doing stuff. And I'd go on a spiritual retreat. And the first one, as you heard last Sunday, and you can catch the first sermon in this series online or in the back. But I ended up in northern Wisconsin. And I'm packed. I got to get there by a certain time because they serve dinner. And I'm all packed. Truck's about ready to go. I'm going to be gone for a week. And the last minute I thought, you know, I know it's a spiritual retreat, and I'm going to be spending most of my time reading scriptures and praying, meditating. But I want to treat myself also to one movie. And so I went downstairs and just grabbed something, kind of like, you know, what DVD can I grab? And I grabbed The Matrix. How many of you have not seen The Matrix? All right. And so it was a movie made, just one. Okay. And it's kind of a guy's kind of movie, you might think. But it's very powerful. It's made in 1999 and with Keanu Reeves. And I had no idea at the time that this was going to be the beginning of a theme for the rest of the summer. And so I watched the movie, and as most of you know, and for the one that doesn't, Keanu Reeves is a computer programmer, right? And he's just a guy living an ordinary life, but there's something inside him that seems like his life is a little off kilter. Something's not right, and there's more. And basically, he's going to be going through a paradigm shift. And this idea of how things, our concepts, our thinking about life and how things work in Christ need to shift. And so what happened is I just enjoyed the movie and didn't think too much of it, just about, wow, what a powerful picture of how we live in one reality, but it's not the true reality. And there's another world, which, give the punchline away, is the kingdom of God. And not everybody realizes that we're living in a false, wrong paradigm. And so I didn't think too much beyond that, thinking, what a great movie. Love the action scene, you know, dodging bullets. But then while I was there, I just grabbed one. There's only 8 books in my suite on a shelf, and I grabbed one, and it's Escaping Church, Inc., and it was a paradigm shift. And then the book I read over the summer, the book With, and that's the whole title, With, by Sky Jathani, was a huge paradigm shift of how even Christians are understanding and looking incorrectly at God, and how the church is propagating some paradigms that aren't quite accurate. And then at the same time, the same week, my friend Jim gives me a couple books to read, fiction, because I like to read 4 books at once. First, the Bible. And then, you know, I want something that's good and deep and theological. And then, you know, and then I want one that's maybe life-giving and devotional. And then there's the one you can read on the toilet. Jill hates when I do things like this. And that book is by Ted Decker. It's actually 2 of them, and The 49th Mystic and The Rise of the Mystics. And what's interesting about that is a story about a girl, Rachel, who lives in our world, but through some circumstances, when she sleeps, she dreams of another world. Catching the connection points here. And this other world, that's a dream she comes to discover is more real. It's a truer reality than the one she's living in. And so all of a sudden, God obviously is ingraining in me the need for even Christians, not just the unbelievers who don't know Jesus and haven't experienced the kingdom of God, but it's for Christians too who are not really living with God in this kingdom. And at the same time, I'm contemplating preaching one of the Gospels, Luke. And then at the end of the sabbatical, 3 months later, the last book, the second book in the Ted Decker, just in case God was thinking, man, you know, and God's thinking, I love Craig. He's a little slow. He doesn't get it sometimes, so I need to put an exclamation mark on this one. Then just before I enter back into the church and pastoring, in that the last book, Rachel, who was becoming to understand her true identity and her power, and the book is and Justin is Jesus in this kind of parable, this story, and she was being given drugs and therapy, even shock therapy, in our world to convince her that the dream world is not true. And she's doesn't realize that she's being held captive. She thinks she's free, but she thinks the doctors are trying to help her. And so she has a lot of downtime in between treatments. And in the book, it says she finds herself in her downtime watching one movie over and over. Guess what movie? Matrix. See, you're sharper than I am. God doesn't have to repeat himself 100 times with you. And so in the Matrix, the machines have created a computer matrix that has created this false reality for humans, which they're feeding off of. And Neo in this doesn't know his true self. And in the Matrix, Neo needs to recognize his true self. And cognate means thinking. And so he needs to rethink, or he needs to remember who he is in this story. And to come to grasp his true self, as you and I need to do too. Because this world also is reprogramming you to not know your true self, who you are in Christ. And are you with me? Yeah? And so, yet Neo knows there's something wrong with this world he's in, like a splinter in his mind. He can't explain it, but he feels it. He knows there's more to this world than his five senses can perceive. He needs the truth of who he is and the power he has within the world to be real. So, Morpheus. Remember Morpheus in this. And Morpheus is the one who has discovered the truth and finds others who are lost and deceived within the false matrix world. And he finds Neo in the matrix and offers him a way out. And this is one of the famous quotes from Morpheus. He tells Neo that he has been blinded to the truth. And Neo asks, what is the truth? Have you ever heard that line in the New Testament? Morpheus answers that you are a slave, Neo, like everyone else. You were born into bondage. You were born into a prison of your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. And then he takes the pill box he's been holding, and he opens it out and takes two pills. And with his left hand, he says, take the blue pill. And the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. But Neil takes the red pill and enters Wonderland and begins a journey knowing the truth of who he is and the real world as it was designed. It's a struggle for him in this new world, as it is just for you and I to know a new way of thinking. Not just think it, but walk it out, right? It has been for me. It will be until the day I die for me and you. So don't feel bad if you feel like you're still living between two paradigms. And in the sabbatical, the Lord led me to the great need of Christians to have a clearer understanding of what it means for the old self to die, and not just to its desires, but to all its wrong understanding of God and how to live in God's new way. And I should at this point explain what a paradigm is. A paradigm is a pattern of concepts that we live by. In other words, the way you think become some measure your reality, right? Even if it's not quite true. For example, if you believe the world is flat and that's your paradigm, it might hinder how far you travel on vacation. But if your paradigm is the world is round, and then there's no fear, there's adventure. Life changes dramatically. So a paradigm is the pattern of concepts and the way you think about life that affects your reality. I hope I didn't call it paradigm shift. That's the paradigm. The paradigm shift, therefore, is simply a fundamental change at the core of your thoughts and thinking. And this is what really. When that shift is hard, but then your reality begins to change and you begin to see even who you are and God differently. So subtle, inaccurate truths or paradigms about God will bleed down into the rest of who you are and the way you live it out. Does this make sense? So many of us have a paradigm of God that he is here to meet our needs and he completes us. He gives us, we go to church to get filled up. Another paradigm of God, that he wants us to live holy lives so that we will be blessed and we can have his favor. Am I pushing any buttons yet? How about God wants us to live sacrificially for him so we are accomplishing great things for the kingdom of God? Anyone getting mad at me yet? Yeah, but Paul himself says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave his life for me. Right? And that's true. There are elements of truth in all these paradigms about God and you. So in fall, we're going to start a new sermon series in the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to call it With Jesus. Because that's the primary focus, the paradigm in which God wants us to live by. Yes, he wants to give and bless. Yes, he wants to help us live holy lives because he is holy. Yes, we live sacrificially in a way that the kingdom increases. But trust me, if that is your primary understanding of your relationship with God, you are missing out on a whole world of blessing and love. So the point, God wants us to have a paradigm that what he desires above all other things is to live life with him. Because in all those others, you can live it without him. Now, if you're confused by this, I don't care. No. I do care, but you will need to come and hear and see and hopefully experience who Jesus is when in the last week of October, I think, I always say when I give a date to something, I always have to be careful, but that's when we will start this series. So this morning, when Jesus says, follow me, he is inviting us to live with him in a paradigm shift. Jesus didn't say, follow me, I'll make life better, and you'll keep living in the matrix. No, he said, follow me, and I'm going to turn your world upside down. And things you thought are, what you thought is black, I'm going to show you white. And, you know, and just this whole kingdom is so upside down from the way we learn in our world. So let me ask this question. How well do you know Jesus? And how much are you experiencing the kingdom of God here on earth? So who is Jesus? You know, it's interesting because the people in the gospel stories are always asking, who is he? Who is this that can speak with authority? Who is this that heals this man? Who is this that can walk on water? Who, you know, all the time the question is, who is this? And so if Jesus asked you, how would you answer who he is? If someone said, who is Jesus? Well, I know how to spell his name, Jesus, I think. And I know he died I don't know. It's a strange story anyway. How deeply can you even answer that if you can answer it on one level? How deep does your answer go? So this summer, Tales of the Trail, wasn't just hiking mountain trails, which was fun. But every Sunday, I would take a trail to a church and visit other churches and pastors. And one Sunday, just before my second retreat in Colorado for a week, I went to hear Pastor Isaac Fleming at Living Water Church. And he preached his passage on Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. Wonderful message. You can hear it online. The next Sunday, I always pray, where do you want me to go, God? Where are you taking me this Sunday? The next Sunday, I decided to go to Cross Point Church of the Nazarene. Never been there. And to hear a pastor with the same first name, Isaac. And Isaac Gilmore, and heard a wonderful message preached on Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. Different messages, same main character. God had my attention. No, I'm not going to preach their sermons. You can find those online, like I said, but I want to expound on some verses here this morning. And I want you to hear, if you were to ask Paul, who is Jesus? He goes beyond the Christmas story. And so let me read this together, and then let me say some things about it. And what you can't see in the translation, this is a beautiful Christological poem, verses 15 through 20. And so let's read it, and I want to share a few things with you. This is who Paul says Jesus is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth, in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Can someone explain what that means? That is powerful. I've preached on it in the past, years ago. That is somebody that knows who Jesus is. And so, looking just at the beginning of verse 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is not only equal to God, he is God. He is not a copy. He is the physical embodiment of our invisible God. Jesus is God's Son who is invisible. God being invisible, Jesus is visible for us to find in the scriptures, to hear his words and see how he touches people's life. Jesus is someone who is not just equal to God, but is God. And this means something in this modern day world, because there's no other religious character that claims that. It also says in verse 15, he's the firstborn of all creation. And we tend to think of firstborn in our culture as being physically born. As you know, so this is being connected with childbirth, and some would say, see, therefore Jesus was created. But this is not what this is saying. It's not that he is the first to be created. It's not about his origin, but his position. And it's speaking, if you've read the Old Testament, the principle, the idea that the firstborn son is positioned differently than anyone else. Jesus is the firstborn. He is the prince over all others. And so he outranks all powers in creation. He has the ultimate authority in salvation. And and through him, all things were created. This is Jesus. Verse 16, we see that all things were created by him in heaven and on earth. Do you understand? Here's the picture of the Matrix. There's a heaven. How many are there right now? It's a trick question. This is why we're going to need to look at Luke. Some of you are. I'll get to that in a moment. Visible, invisible. There's things beyond science. Things that science can't measure with the five senses that are in all their instruments. And again, I love science. And then in that same verse, it says, all things were created for him. So did you catch that? All things were created by him. All things were created for him. The purpose of creation is to glorify Jesus. You are not the center of the universe. This is who Jesus is. And then in verse 17, we read that Jesus holds all things together, all things. He's the sustainer of all creation. It's not that God is in everything like the rock and trees that some religions would tell you. It's that everything is in Jesus and there's nothing outside of him. This is a paradigm shift. It's mind-bending, if you're getting what I'm saying. You see, the laws of science reflect the creative love and power of Jesus. You ever think of what science is? True science, factual science, is reflecting, again, I'll say it, the creative love and power of Jesus that's keeping everything from disintegrating into chaos. If Jesus withdrew from it, it would cease to be. Man, am I rattling anyone's brain here? Amen? The laws themselves have no power. Science is just the discovery of how amazing Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is not, again, remember, that means he's leading something. He's leading in the creation. He is leading a resurrection parade. He rose from the dead. He wasn't the first person to rise from the dead in the Bible, but he's the first person to rise from the dead in a resurrected body, physically and spiritually, like you and I will be too if we believe in him. Amen? Amen? This is incredible who Jesus is. And that's why it goes on to say through him in verse 20, to reconcile to himself what? How many things? Here's a mind blower. In the fall, everything was corrupted. And in Jesus, not just human beings made in the image of God are reconciled, but even the animals and plants and your dogs and kitties. That would take some time to think about some more, wouldn't it? So believers are raised up with Christ, and in Ephesians says we are seated with him in the heavens. And I won't read it, but in Ephesians 2 you can discover that believers living with God have, I guess, one, I was going to say footed, I guess it's one cheek on earth and the other cheek in heaven. Hey, I'm not making this up. It said, you know, that we're seated with him. So we are able to live these lives. It's a paradigm shift, people. So, if in Christ means that's where we find our true identity, we need to think more accurately and deeply about him, not falsely and superficially. If you were to ask, how does God feel about blank, right? How does he feel about what you are going through or what you've seen? The answer is, look at Jesus. Or maybe you ask the question, what does God think about blank? The answer is, look at Jesus. That's why we're going to look at Luke. How you think about God is so critical in how you experience life. Your paradigm makes all the difference in your world. So, when Jesus says to you, follow me, he's asking you to swallow a really big pill, right? And yet inside, like a splinter in your mind, you know something's wrong in this life and there's something more to experience, right? And so you're asked to swallow a pill. But there's two pills in that box, and one's blue and one's red, and the blue pill means living out of fear, but taking the red pill means you live out of love, right? Taking the blue pill means living in a dominion of darkness, but a red pill means living in the kingdom of light. The blue pill means you are enslaved, even if you don't realize it, instead of being free because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The blue pill means you are forgiven. Sorry, blue pill means you're guilty. The red pill means you are forgiven. The blue pill means that you are weak, but the red pill means you are strengthened in the Holy Spirit. The blue pill means you live out of anxiety and fear, but the red pill means joy and peace. Are you still with me? Lastly, the blue pill means you are living a life out of fear and control, and the red pill means you are surrendered to the will of the Father who loves you, right? It all depends on which paradigm you're living your life out of. And so I want to challenge you. You get to choose which pill you swallow. And so there's the blue pill. See? Try and hold this up for you. And the blue pill, you take this and your story ends. And you wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You enter Wonderland and Jesus shows you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, I'm only offering you the truth and nothing more. Remember, Jesus is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. You choose which pill you will swallow. As for me and my house, we have swallowed the red pill. Bob, you have a grimace on your face. So I invite you at the end of October to join me in a journey to not only know who Jesus is, but to see what life is like with him. When Jesus says, follow me, I know he's asking a lot, and it should be a life changer. Will you live with him and invite others and fall to join you? That's connecting last year's bless you to this year's love God. So this isn't just for you. There are, as you heard stories this morning, people that haven't been given that choice. They're still in the world, in the matrix, and it's false. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And I want to pray. And bow your heads. Please close your eyes. And if there's anybody here this morning that has not been given that opportunity and they want to swallow the pill, follow me, raise your hands while everybody's heads are bowed, because I want to hold you especially in my heart when I pray. And for the rest of you that have begun this life of faith, I want to pray for you that Jesus will take you deeper into understanding the kingdom of God, and that you will be rescued from the lies of the enemy and the sins of your life that keep you from experiencing being with Jesus. So let's pray. So Jesus, we are here. We are only here because you are sustaining our existence, our very breath that we breathe. We praise you that you and the Father and the Holy Spirit were there in the creation, and you made all this. Forgive us for my sin, our sin, and our rebellious ways and hearts that put us at the center of the universe. Forgive us. And we ask that you give us a paradigm shift, a new set of concepts, ways of thinking that are in alignment with the truth of your kingdom and who you are. And Lord, each one of us, you have made to be the light of the world as we live with you. In all we say and do, you filled us with your Spirit, and we ask more of that. We ask more of your Spirit to empower us, and you tell us that you can do more than we can ask or dream of. So help us see our true self in you. We pray this in Jesus' name.